Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm Cliff Eckhart. The bad news is I got shrunk overnight. The good news is he gave me hair. It's good to have fun in the house of the Lord. He brings us joy, brings us happiness. Just nothing like living for Jesus. Speaking of Cliff, he's not here this morning. He's with Jenny. Jen went into the hospital a couple days ago with an emergency, and they're still working on it, and we will get updates. Keep her in prayer. You want to say anything?
No.
Oh, this is my wife, Nancy. This is not Jen.
No, just that, really, just keep her in prayer. Keep the team working with her in prayer. I will say they're anticipating surgery probably today. So just keep them in prayer, and we'll keep you updated as things go on.
Yes. Yep. Good. So not to worry. God's got us, right? God's faithful. Didn't we just sing about that? All right, and Nancy is here. She came over and said, "You need any help today?" And I said, "I absolutely need help."
I know him too well.
I've been told that by hundreds of people over the years. and this is Cliff's computer. He came in and set it up this morning. It's not a Mac, so I have no idea how to use it. I gave up on IBM back in 2007, I think it was. So anyway, Nancy has offered to work the slides. If that doesn't work, guess what I got? We could go back to the old days where I used to just stand up there and talk about from the Bible. We could do that too. But anyway, this is the third week that we've been talking about preparing for Jesus' return. And just so you know, I mean, when I met Jesus back in 1971, I had rejected God, rejected my dad who was a preacher, blah, blah, blah. And I got to a point where I just cried out, "God, if you really can have my life." I was in my apartment room at Penn State, but it was up in Du Bois campus. And he showed up, and the whole room lit up, and he showed up. And I cried for 5 hours as junk came out of me, all my anger, all my bitterness, all my disappointment just came out of me. And after I had cried for 5 hours, Jesus said to me, "You say now that you've had a lot of reasons why not to believe in me. From now on, don't look at people, just follow me and my word." And that's what I've been trying to do. And that was 1971, so you can do the math. In 79, God had given us this piece of land, miraculously. I was cutting down trees to build a log house. Nancy was at work. I was watching our baby, Christy. And I laid down. And again, God spoke to me and said, "I want you to start a church. Because I have no one in this area who will preach my uncompromised word to prepare my people for my imminent return." That was 1979. My initial response was, no way, God. I've given up on the church. It's a meat grinder. The people are nasty. I don't want to be a part of it. I'm just going to serve you here in the woods." And all of a sudden, it got quiet. The bubble of his grace I was living in disappeared. And everything started breaking down. And so finally, after 2 weeks of doing that, I said, "Okay, God, I will do it on one condition, that you build the church, and it's a church built on love." And he said, "You've got it." And somebody asked me the other day, like, "Were you bargaining with God?" And I said, "I guess I was. I don't know." But we put an ad in the paper, and here we are. And I just want to give a shout out to Rick Rarig and Donna Bowman, who were in our very first services, our very first Bible studies. Is there anybody else here that I'm missing that was in those very first Bible studies? And is Lucy here?
Yeah, Rayanne was.
Rayanne and Donnie. Donnie. Oh, Donnie was a hard case, but Rayanne was there.
Rayanne, yeah, yeah. Got him
coming. Okay. 44 years ago. That's unbelievable. In any case, what we're doing today in the last 3 weeks is still just doing what he told me to do. Prepare my people for my imminent return. And thanks to Judy, who kind of forced me, manipulated me into this, and she's shaking her head no. But it didn't even really occur to me that what she was doing was being God's voice saying, Rick, I need you to go back to my initial instruction, prepare my people for my imminent return. You say, imminent? What do you mean? That was 1979. Yeah. I would not be surprised if Jesus came today. I would not be surprised if I die and Jesus hasn't come yet. There's no surprise. We just plan for the best and plan for the worst. All right, amen. So we're going to just go, today we're just going to go over Matthew 24. I've been referring to Matthew 24 for the last 3 weeks. Again, why Matthew 24? There are people who grab one verse wonders out of Daniel. They grab one verse wonders out of Revelation, and they ignore or actually even oppose what Jesus said. Jesus' instruction to me was, follow me and my word, and no longer follow people. All right. So, when it comes to end times, I look at Matthew 24, which, you know, in all the Gospels, he spoke about this stuff. He gave so many parables talking about his return and our importance to prepare for that return. I was just talking to Ron Verba. I got his name right. And is it Carolyn? Oh, I got it. All right. But he was saying that, because I was talking last week about preparing, you know, like a physical preparing, not just spiritual preparing. And he said, you know, he liked the parable of the lanterns, you know, of the bridesmaids with the lanterns. And ten, and five of them were prepared and five of them weren't. Some of them were somewhat prepared and some of them were not prepared at all. But some of them were prepared. And that's what we're talking about, you know. And we've talked a lot about the fact that the way that I prepare is not the way that you'll prepare. Everybody's got their own conscience, their own Holy Spirit leading them in terms of what to do, how to do it. One thing I can say across the board is that the number one preparation is in your heart, knowing that you've given your life to Jesus Christ and he lives inside your heart. That's the number one preparation. Without that, you are not prepared and you're going to be sad. All right, so Nancy, you know how to work that thing? Just push a button, yeah. I can't really see it from there. Let me put it over this way. Usually we have that big screen there. What happened? Cliff's not here and everything falls apart? I don't know. I don't really know what Cliff did. Cliff did the slides. So, I remember he talked to me. He said, somebody said that I live in an apartment. There's no way that I can grow vegetables, whatever, you know, or have a safe, whatever. And he was saying, you know, just the plans of the diligent lead surely to an advantage. Everyone who is hasty surely comes to poverty. So anyway, what he was saying was that it's never too late to start doing the right thing, you know. Don't say, well, I can't do that, so therefore I'll do nothing. You know, just seek the Lord. Talk to him. Ask him. Get out a journal. Write on the top of it, Lord, what do you want me to do to prepare for your return? And then put down number one, and then just write. Number two, just write. Number three, just write. Well, why should I just write? Because you ask the Holy Spirit, you ask God for instruction, now write it down. Right. Oh, I'll remember it. Right. I've heard that before. Okay, let's just keep moving here. We want to go to Matthew 24. Let's just go to find Matthew 24 on there. We're not going to go through all this again. There's Matthew 24 right there. All right. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, open it up to Matthew 24. Somebody, Annette, said this morning, she's so glad that I mentioned to get a concordance, do a word study. That's the only way you really get a picture of what God's thinking, is find every scripture in the Bible that talks about that particular topic. You put them all down, you read them all, and then you write what you understand all those verses are saying. And then that becomes your understanding of what God thinks about this particular topic. So right now we're talking about end times, and we're going to read Matthew 24. We're going to do it. All right, 24. And Jesus came out from the temple and was going. His disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. All right, so get this picture, right? Jesus just came out from the temple, right? This is a massive, massive structure, right? The best building in all of Israel, right? And so they were in there. I'm not going to get into a lot of detail about the worship or what they would have been doing in there, but they come out of there, out of this tremendous thing full of people who are doing sacrifices and chanting prayers and all kinds of stuff, and they come out of there because that is the central focus of the Jewish religion. So they come out of there, and he answered and said to them, ready? Do you not see all these things? Wait a minute. See what all things? They're looking back. They come out of the temple, right? They look back, and what are they looking at? What are the things they're seeing? This big building. All these people around this thing that represents the Jewish religion. And he said to them, do you not see all these things? Let's read together. Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. All right. So, okay, let's go. Let's read verse 3. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, when he said, all this will be torn down, that precipitated their thinking. But they asked him three questions, didn't they? Okay, the three questions are, when will these things happen? What things? The temple will be torn down, not one stone left upon another. All right. When did that happen? 70 AD. The Romans came in response to a revolution by the Maccabees who wanted to overthrow Roman rule. They destroyed everything. They tore down the temple and scattered the stones. They tried to kill every Jew or force them out of that area. Some left. But that has been called... Oh, no, I just got a brain blank. But it's been called the... What is it, Lee? Dispersion. The dispersion. Dispersion of the Jews. And they were dispersed throughout all the world, except perhaps the New World over here. And they began the persecution. I mean, the persecution of the world began toward them because of the rejection of the Christ. That pretty much culminated in the Nazi attempt to annihilate the Jew and kill them. That culmination of that hatred toward the Jew precipitated a return back to Israel by the Jew. And ultimately, the nations agreed they should have this little piece of land that we now call Israel. It's about the size of Rhode Island. So, that has been fulfilled, the first question. What's the second question? What will be the sign of your coming? See, now in their mind, they may well have thought all these things are going to happen at the same time. It's going to all be simultaneous. But it wasn't. We know that now looking back with hindsight, right? What will be the sign of your coming? And what's the third question? And the end of the age. All right. Now I'm just going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, then I'll tell you. All right? But the sign of his coming is going to be, he appears in the sky, there's a great trumpet blast, and he and the angels come in the sky. It'll be as the lightning goes from the east to the west, and all the world will see it. And we'll be caught up to be with him. That's the sign of his coming. The trumpet blast and his appearing in the sky. And of the end of the age. The end of the age is the final tribulation, which will culminate in the destruction of the world by fire. That age comes to a conclusion with fire. We can talk about that a little bit later if we have the time. But there will be a destruction that will be worldwide, and it will burn up, Peter says, the elemental things, which I interpret to being the demonic forces in the spiritual realm, as well as everything left. And then Jesus is going to return with his people and set up a new kingdom and a new earth and restore all things to what they were before the fall. Okay. So now I told you what I'm going to tell you. Right? It's not that complicated. We try to complicate things. Right? By getting one verse wonders. But we're just going to read 24. Okay, verse 3. Oh, wait a minute. Did we read verse 3?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Hallelujah! This is Labor Day weekend, right? This is a labor of love, what I'm doing here. You can tell, can't you? Can't believe it's 44 years, Rick. Come on. All right, honey.
Okay, verse 4.
Verse 4. You follow Nancy's lead, okay, in reading.
And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many."
Whew, that's a funny one, huh? I only know of one person in the world who's saying, "I am the Christ in the world." Now I started. Now I stirred up something, huh? Who's saying, "I am the Christ in the world"? I am the Christ in the world. Who is it? The Pope. Has he misled many? Whew. How many in here are recovered Catholics? Man, there's a pile of you. Good for you. There's no sense giving me the stink eye, you know? I could be totally wrong, you know? But I mean, you know, he's the only one that has said, "I am the Christ in the world," and has misled many. I mean, we're talking millions. All right. Okay, let's read on.
Verse 6.
Verse 6.
"You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened. For those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes."
All right, so, yes? Yeah. But what he's talking about now is that second question, and what are the signs of my coming? What are the signs of my coming? All right? There's going to be wars, rumors. What does it say? Don't be frightened, right? Don't be frightened. Yes, there's wars. There's rumors of wars. In other words, they call it saber rattling, right? I'm going to come get you. Yeah, I'm going to, you know, whatever. So, so governments do that. Nation rise against nation. Those are governments, you know. And so all over the world, you know, I don't know. Are there famines? Whew. World hunger that's a thing. Yeah. Earthquakes, man, all over the place, earthquakes. I do believe, as Jesus said, these are the signs of my coming, that these things will become more and more frequent, right? And also, we will hear about them more and more because of the way technology has made news, like, instantly instantly heard, right? And so it'll seem like it's more, it'll seem like it's worse, and it may well be worse because, as we're going to see, there's going to be a lot of hatred in the world, a lot of division in the world, and that will cause more and more animosity and ultimately violence in the world. And those things are going to increase. But what was Jesus' first word? Don't be what? Frightened. Don't be afraid. Don't be frightened. When people come to me and say, I'm really worried, I say, why? Aren't you a believer in Jesus? Isn't the Holy Spirit in your heart? Don't you have the peace that surpasses comprehension, that guards your mind and your heart in Christ Jesus? Jesus over and over again said, do not be frightened. Everybody say loud and like you believe it, I will not be afraid.
I will not be afraid.
Amen. Amen. David said, even if the mountains fall on the sea, I will not be afraid. Come on, say it. I will not be afraid. All right, be of good courage, we saw last week. Jesus said, be of good courage, for in the world you have tribulation, but be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. Amen. There's a place where you live in his bubble. The bubble of his grace, the bubble of his favor. And there is no worry, there is no fear. There's just peace. There's just this sense that God's got my back. Jen said, texted me, God's got me. Do you know God's got you? All right. Where are we? Oh, we did 7. You can forward it to 8. There we go. You ready? Nancy, lead.
Okay, let's start over. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another.
All right, let's just stop there a minute. All right, so these are the beginnings of birth pangs. How many mothers do we have in here that have given birth? When the birth pangs happen, I've never done this. Captain Obvious, but I mean, when the birth pangs happen, is that a good thing? Mm-hmm. Yes and no. I mean, obviously something's going to happen now, right? It's not going to be long now, right? I can only imagine being in labor like for 24 hours, as some of you have, or maybe more, I don't know. But I know when we had our first kid, here I go with my stories again. When we had our first child, Nancy, were you 2 weeks overdue? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's huge.
9 days.
I mean, she was a little girl. She had a big belly out here. From behind you, you wouldn't even know she was pregnant. From the side, you're like, whoa. And 2 weeks late, that's a long time.
It was 9 days.
9 days. Fact checker. Like forever. Yeah. But anyway, I took her over to Blue Mountain. Well, it wasn't Blue Mountain at that time. It was Little Gap ski area. And we walked up and down the ski runs to precipitate this birth. Yeah. Well, Peter said, do these things to hasten his coming. Right? So anyway.
And then I would add, it was hunting season. All you hunters. And he wanted to go out hunting, and so he took me out and said, this is where I'll be in my tree stand if you go in labor. That's true. It's true. But
and that
actually,
was before any cell phones. That was 79.
I went into labor before he got out of the house, so.
Yeah, 4 o'clock in the morning, our bed got all wet, and I was no hunting today. Just ruined my hunt. All right. I mean, which is better, the expectation of a big buck or the expectation of a baby? 6'7". All right. So what are we talking about here? I get all my stories and then I forget. Oh, then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations because of my name. All right, so we talked about this, didn't we? The last couple of weeks, we talked about this. This is happening. And this is why I say I'm mid-tribulation, because I believe that there's two kinds of tribulations. The first is the tribulation of believers. And the second is the tribulation of the unbeliever. All right? The first tribulation is what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking to his disciples. They will deliver you to tribulation. And I said last time, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail what I've said already, but you go around the world outside of the insulated United States, and you will find persecution and hatred of Christians around the world. Laws against Christianity, laws against owning a Bible, right? Churches being bombed. So this is happening, right? I consider, now you look at Europe, okay, Europe, the churches have gone into, they become museums and theaters, but there are, like all over the world, there are small groups, house churches, whether it be in Russia. We were over there in Russia when the wall first came down. There was a revival, but it was undercurrent. It was because the Russian Orthodox Church made evangelistic churches or born-again churches illegal, right? And so there's this pressure, there's this persecution. And just so you know, I believe that these religions, whether it be the Catholic Church, the Roman, the Russian Greek Orthodox, whatever it might be, they call themselves Christians. They are the great whore of Revelation. They are the great whore. They profess to be one thing, but they're another. They actually hate the real, true, born-again, biblical Christians. Whew, I'm meddling. All right. At that time, many will fall away. I talked about this last week. The apostasy is happening. The apostasy has happened and has been happening for the last 50 years. When the God is Dead movement came out by Nietzsche, the colleges and universities all accepted evolution as fact and God is dead as a fact, and people began and ministers were taught that the Bible is a myth and Jesus did not really rise from the dead and he's not really coming back, and the hope of the world is social democracy, and the churches got flooded by these ministers who believed that. The church is emptied. And many of those people ended up in independent churches like this who still believe the Bible and still believe that Jesus rose from the dead and he's coming back again. All right, those are all things that I've said before, right? And I apologize if you've said, well, you've said that already, Rick, go on to say something else. But there are certain things that are just really important to underline, that the apostasy has happened. I said before, and I'll say it again, and I've been saying it since 1981, homosexuality and sexual perversion will become the issue that causes Christians to fall away as their family members become overcome by the culture, choose to become homosexual or whatever all those different letters represent, and they will be forced to choose between their family and following the Bible and Christ, and they will begin to hate those who, like me, say, that's wrong. And as Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the before Christ returns. And we are seeing it. I have seen this thing progress since we first started. And when I first started saying this, Rick and Donnie, Rayanne, I first started saying this, it was like, what? I don't even know anybody that's homosexual. Right? And now we've had administrations forcing it on the public. Anyway, I don't want to get off on that. Okay, number 11. Yep, Nancy.
Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold.
Woo! All right. Verse 11, many prophets will arise. Man, there have been a lot of prophets. You know, whether it be Hinduism, Buddhism, Sikhism, all the isms, right? But I can tell you right now, the one that Jesus is referring to happened in 700 AD when a rapist, a child molester, and a thief, a raiding thief, got a revelation that Christianity and Judaism is of the devil, and that the one true prophet is him, Muhammad, and that Christians and Jews must be killed. I know, you all know Muslim people who are nice people and would reject that statement. And I would say, yes, there are Christians who reject the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Would you call them true Christians? You know? But if you wonder what's going on over in Israel, you have to understand that the most basic bottom line of Muslim religion is the Jew must be eradicated from the world. There is no place for them, and it goes back to Ishmael and Isaac, sons of Abraham. I'm not going to go into that, but I'm telling you that the Jews were there first. For 6,000 years, there's been a Jewish presence in Israel. The word Palestine means in Hebrew, invader. Oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. All right. But you talk about a false prophet who over and over again, millions of people in the world saying there's one true prophet and his name is, huh? No, the Muslims say. Muhammad. And look at how they are overrunning the world. Their philosophy is have multiple wives, have 20 kids, and penetrate the rest of the world and overtake the world and eradicate Christians and Jews in the process. Gee, this is fun. Huh? Oh, it's coming here. Detroit's overrun. Absolutely. Michigan, Minnesota. Yeah. All right. We got to keep moving. Now, Cliff was really good about keeping me on time. And I told Nancy, you know, this is your job. Keep me on time.
Tell you when you're done.
You're going to tell me when I'm done?
See that clock there?
Is that how much time I have left? Minus 37 seconds?
No, it's 9:37 now.
Oh, so this service ends at 11? All right. Because lawlessness has increased, most people's love will grow cold. All right, are we seeing that? Unbelievable. I talked about that last week. But I want to tell you right now, again, it goes back to homosexuality. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 that is the representation of the ultimate rejection of God's law. And that is what Jesus is talking about here, is the rejection of God's laws. Rejection of God's law. Abortion is the rejection of God's law. It's technical intervention of something that God created. All right. And are we seeing people's love grow cold? Yeah. But I want to make sure you understand. I did the rail analogy last week. Was it last week? That we talked about the rails, the two rails, the two tracks. And they keep widening as they go along. I know you all want to see me do the split again, right? But anyway, you know, people's love will grow cold toward other Christians. Jesus said they will betray one another. You know, I don't know. I mean, people leave here and talk bad about me. Is that betraying me? I don't know. If You know, people talk bad about you because you go to Blue Mountain Community Church and they renounce. They say living together is sin and homosexuality is sin. Is you know, and you know, and they say, well, that's a ridiculous. You know, is that betraying you? And you know, they're going to church and they're thinking that they're all fine. I don't know. I think we're seeing this stuff happen. The divisiveness in the world, in the country, and the divisiveness reflects the divisiveness in the church, in the body of Christ, hating one another. Are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. Do you hate Pastor Rick? Oh, he's the worst thing that ever happened. You say, oh, nobody would ever say that. Hi, live stream. I know you're not watching because you hate me. I can't take it personal. I have to say every day, like this morning, I got up, I said, Jesus, you told me to preach the uncompromised word. I'm going to do my best. I do my best. I know, you know, you might want, when I worship, I don't think of anybody else. But when I got to get up and I got to talk and I'm saying, this is what the Bible says and this is what I believe it says, I got to prostrate myself before the Lord and say, God, I surrender myself completely and totally to you. Just have your way. And so I'm not going to, I mean, I know when I leave here, I'm going to kick myself. I should have said this, should have said that. But the truth of the matter is, I gave myself to God and the Holy Spirit. And if, you know, all right. So people's love will grow cold. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So don't be dismayed when people hate you and badmouth you and blah, blah, blah. Jesus said it's going to happen. All right, let's go on. 12. Come on, Cliff.
I'm doing the same thing.
All right. Okay. All right. But let's read it together. Nancy, lead us.
But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains.
All right, let's just stop. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. All right. In fact, let's read a little bit more.
Okay, see if it works.
Tell you what, we'll just go old there, school
it
go, and hit.
No, wait, it went.
Oh, you did it. Okay. All right, let's read on.
Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things that are in his house. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world now, nor ever will.
Next slide.
Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short.
All right, let's just stop there. And can you go back to but for the sake of the elect, the elect is the word ekklesia. Ek is Greek for out of. Klesia means to call out. Right, and I talked about that the last couple of weeks. For you to be saved, you've got to feel God's call in your heart. You've got to respond and get called out of the world and into His kingdom. But He says that if those days were not cut short, even the ecclesia would not be saved. So let's go back another one. Okay, there will be great. Okay, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Okay, that's the first one, and then the last one. Those are talking about the two same things. You have to endure to the end that the ecclesia will be saved, all right? I understand that to be what I said before. There's a trumpet, great big trumpet blast. As the lightning goes from the east and the west, Jesus comes, and he's in the sky, and he's on a white horse, and he's got a big sword, and it's covered in blood, and there's a new name written on his thigh, and he says, enough is enough. Right? Now, the day of salvation has come. And we who, those who have died before us will be called out. They'll be with him. We will be caught up to be with him. And that will happen because, he says, the tribulation is so great that if it weren't cut short, you wouldn't be able to take it. What I believe is the rapture happens when the persecution of Christians, remember, the one rail is those of us who said, I will not reject Christ. I will not reject Christianity as a hate religion. I don't care if I can't buy or sell or have money or whatever. I'm going to stay true to Christ. And over here is the world and all this prosperity and stuff they never had before and more money than they ever had, bigger houses than they ever had before. And Christians are over here looking, well, God, how come they're so blessed and we're over here and I have to trade a bar of gold for a loaf of bread? Now, look, when I say stuff like that, I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if that's going to be true, right? Do you understand that? This is speculation. The only thing I do believe and know is that Jesus said the tribulation is going to become so great, you'll be hated so much by the government, by the rogue governments of the world, in all nations. So I think that includes us. At some point, the United States has got to flip from being a protector of the eagle protecting Israel to a place where they join the rest of the world and hate Israel and reject their right to exist. They will persecute Christians because we say homosexuality is wrong. And they'll say, okay, if you don't agree with us, then you can't buy or sell or have any financial. And so we have to make that decision. And so ultimately, Christians will be bartering with each other. Hey, Rick, I got a squirrel. Can I have a box of ammo? I don't know what it's going to come. I don't know. But Christians are going to be bartering and trying to deal with each other and help each other out. We'll be underground because it'll be illegal, right? So, Jesus, help me. Isn't she a wonderful woman? Can you imagine somebody being married for 40, is it 40 years? 50 years. Almost 50 years. 50 years tomorrow, next year.
Almost 49.
You know, married to somebody as crazy as me. Saying stuff like this is bizarre. Right? It would make a great movie. But she's been so faithful and supported me and had to deal with the stink eyes coming at me. Anyway.
Actually, it was 49. Next year's 50.
Yes. Well, that's what I know.
You didn't catch that.
I worked one summer down in Delaware hoeing these huge fields, and I was down in Delaware, and this one kid I was working with, every time I say something, he'd say, well, that's what I know. So you didn't need to know that. But you can all say it. Ready? Well, that's what I know. Okay, so did we cover that? Therefore, when you see the abomination. Oh, okay. So the gospel's preached throughout all the world, all right? And so we understand now that once he says he's going to save the elect, all right? If you have Jesus in your heart, you've felt the call of God, then you can say, I am part of the chosen. Let's say it. I am part of the chosen. Let's say, God called me out of the world. Let's say it. God called me out of the world and into his kingdom. And into his kingdom. All right, good. So when you see the abomination of desolation. All right. So many people say that happened in 70 AD when the Roman centurion came in, or the Roman commander came in, slaughtered hogs on the altar of the temple before, and made the Jewish priests eat the hogs, which Jews don't eat pork. Many people say that was the fulfillment of that. I don't agree with that. I believe that all prophecy has got an immediate application and a long-term application. And in this term, and this particular term, Paul called him the man of lawlessness. John called him the beast. I forget now what Daniel called him, but there are three witnesses that there will be this individual who will, he will stand in Israel, and he will declare that the world no longer supports or allows Judaism or Christianity in the world. And you cannot buy or sell unless you take his mark. All right. And that will become the time then, as that, and he says, you know, I know Nancy and I, because we've lived this way ever since we knew each other, you know, and we're just like, well, woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babes in this day. And we expected Jesus to come any time. And we're like, well, should we have kids? And we're like, what did we decide? I'm sure my grandkids here are glad that we decided, no, we're going to have it. Because he didn't say, don't get pregnant and don't have kids, right? He says, be aware. There may be tough times when this happens. Just be aware, right? And be prepared. We were prepared. We have to carry our babies wherever. We have to carry them wherever, whatever. Whatever. Time? 9:50. What time is the service over? It is over?
By 10 o'clock. But that's, yeah. Over by 10 o'clock.
Oh, including the last song. All right, let's just read on for 5 more minutes. It's over at 10, right? Service is over at 10? All right, let's continue to read here. We stopped at 23, I think, right? All right, 23. Okay, Nancy, you want to lead us?
For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders.
Wait a minute, 23.
You stopped at 23. Oh, okay, we didn't read that one. Okay, verse 23. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him.
Let's stop there a moment. Remember, we read in Thessalonians, Paul said almost the same thing. If somebody has written you a letter or some spirit has said that it's already happened, don't believe them. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't believe it. When it happens, you'll know it.
For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect.
The elect means, is this what? What's the word for elect?
Ecclesia.
Ecclesia. And it means what?
Called out.
Called out. Called out of what? The world. Into what?
God's
the kingdom of God. All right. Good. Boy, you're humans. You learn.
Behold, I have told you in advance. Go on.
Behold, I've told you in advance. All right. Let's go on. We still have 4 minutes.
So if they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go out, or behold, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather.
All right. I love this. All right. So anyway, which question of the three is he answering here? The temple destruction, the signs of his coming, or the end of the age? Signs of his coming. Right? Yeah. Okay? So if somebody says he's already come, you know, don't run out there into the Nevada wilderness or desert, you know. Don't run into New York City, into the inner rooms. You know, when he comes, you will know it. How will you know it? Well, the lightning comes from the east and the west. So will the coming of the man of the Son of Man be. This is, I love this. I love this verse 28. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. You gotta love Jesus. I mean, here he's talking about the end of the coming, you know, and he uses this phrase, wherever the vultures are, the corpse will gather. So who's the corpse in this? The corpse is Jesus. Who's the vultures? Us. How will you know Jesus has come? You're going to be there. You're going to be circling him. One of the tricks I've used over the years, you know, I like to hunt, right? And whenever I shoot a deer, I like to bow hunt mostly. And you're like, Rick, you've only got 3 minutes, 2 minutes. But when you're bow hunting, you know, it's 50-50 if you're going to see that deer fall down, right? And so what I do is if I shoot a deer and I don't see it fall down, I'll walk back up to my house because I hunt right out of my house. Not out of my house. I mean, I walk from my house. And I wait until I see vultures circling. Once I see a vulture circling, it usually is 5 to 10 hours, I just walk down to the center of those vultures, and guess what's there? My deer. What he's saying is, you don't have to worry about this stuff. Wherever I am, there you're going to be also. You said, but Jesus compared himself to a corpse. He compared us to vultures. That's just not right. He used a symbol that was so well known in those days because of the thieving and the raiding. You could tell where dead people were who had been killed by the bad people because there's what? Vultures gathering. All right. Okay. I don't know. It's 9:55. I guess we're done. But anyway, let's just read 29 and let's see, because now he's going to the end of the age. Now he's going to the end of the age. All right. We've been caught up. We're the vultures circling Jesus, right? We're looking down at the world. And now the second part of the tribulation comes. Remember I said tribulation of believers? Jesus said it's going to get so bad you wouldn't even be able to survive if he didn't come. Now, we're caught up. Now begins the tribulation of the unbeliever, of those who are left behind. And that will culminate, and I'm just going to say it, that will culminate ultimately in the destruction of the world by fire. All right, I already said that. Enough said. I think we're done. I mean, you know, there's tons more that could be said. Jesus ends up this parable by saying, he ends up giving a parable about being prepared. The master goes away, and the people that, it's going to be a long time yet. There's still signs that haven't been fulfilled. And so why prepare? Well, then your lantern's short of oil, right? Have you given Jesus your heart? Have you given him your life? That's the place to start. Then you can say, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, help me understand how to prepare for Jesus' return. Start journaling, write down at a journal at the top of your page, September 1st, or tonight, August 31st, right? Lord, what should I do to prepare for your return? What should I do to prepare myself for the tribulation that's going to become so bad toward believers that they wouldn't even be able to survive if you didn't return? Show me what I should do. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Is there anyone here today who has never given their life to Jesus Christ? You've never opened up your heart. Never heard him knocking at the door of your heart. You've never opened up your heart and said, Jesus, I want to give you my life. I want to be prepared for your return. If you've never done that and would like to do it today, just look up at me. Let our eyes meet. Wave at me if I don't see you looking at me for that reason. And I'm just going to agree together with you. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm just going to agree together with you that today is the day you start that journey of Jesus Christ leading you in preparation for his imminent return. Anybody here today making that decision? Would you please pray this prayer with me together and out loud? Lord Jesus Christ, you've given us forewarning. I do believe you. I believe your word. I believe you're real. You're coming back. I give you my heart. Lead me. Show me how to prepare for your return. Amen.